Genoa, and on Stream 2, it's Clearview and Clear Fork, both those games at 6:30. Tonight, the high school pitch has a couple of area girls soccer teams playing for state championships. In the D2 title game, Bay Rockets battle Indian Hill out of Cincinnati at 4 o'clock. And at 7 o'clock tonight, top-ranked Strongsville meets up with the undefeated Beaver Creek for the Division I title. Columbus Blue Jackets also in action tonight. They take on the Washington Capitals in the nation's capital tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock.
When children need to stay in foster care, they need to stay with a highly qualified foster parent.
A person who
can take care of other people's children
and is mission-focused,
understands the value of teamwork,
and understands their individual role,
places service to the community as a priority,
and knows they are making a difference.
It's easy to see why so many successful foster families are veterans.
It's Friday! It's Friday!
Like
we're so glad it's Friday!
This is Bullseye on Weather on AM 930. Scattered showers overnight, rain or snow. Low near 25. Scattered snow showers possible Saturday. High of 35.
It's Bulls Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas.
They like jet airplanes. Woo! They like long limousines. They like fine clothes.
On AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes away from 4 o'clock. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. He's Matt Douglas. I'm Andy Bullbarch. You've got us until 6 tonight, and then we get going with our high school football coverage. We're in the playoffs, second week of it, regional semifinals. We've got not one, not two, not three, not four, but five games to bring you over the next couple of days. But we head to the hotline right now as we bring in Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, thank you as always for joining us. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about today, my friend. And I want to start on the hardwood. We'll talk about some college basketball. Of course, it got going on Tuesday night. A lot of Cleveland Cavalier fans were pretty excited about that simply because, well, this hasn't been the best year for the Wine and Gold, and people are beginning to look ahead now at who some of these guys are they should be paying attention to that the Cavs should draft next summer. But I want to give you an opportunity here, Adam, to start by explaining your five college basketball betting tips for the 2018-19 season.
It's good to chat with you again here, Andy. And, you know, for college basketball, I mean, it's one of those markets where there are a lot of games on the board, a lot of teams, 353 teams, in fact. So it's very hard to know about all of them. So one of the biggest tips I have for a lot of people out there is to become a specialist and to do it, generally speaking, in a geographic area around where you live. So if you live in this area, find out a lot about the Horizon League. Find out a lot about the Mid-American Conference. Become a specialist in those smaller conferences where you can get some bigger edges. I mean, it doesn't take long for the odds makers to learn about Duke or Kentucky or Kansas or Michigan State or any of those teams. But the smaller schools are where there's a lot of value in college basketball. I think that's the most important thing that you can do as a handicapper in college hoops is become an expert on a couple of small conferences, know them inside and out, and then really look to take advantage that way.
I think it's interesting you mentioned that, just because college basketball, especially at the Division I level, it's so big. You're talking about 300 plus programs. It's just gigantic. I mean, that's why you certainly admire what guys and the big networks could do, is they can really kind of cover the map and they could tell you what teams in the West Coast are doing. They could tell you what teams in the Southeast are doing. It really is incredible. But you're right. Becoming a specialist at least gives you a chance, because there's no way, if you've got a full-time job, that you could really focus on all 300-plus teams. So I think being a specialist, as you mentioned, and maybe a regional specialist, certainly stands out.
It really does. I mean, you know, when you think about a college basketball Saturday, they have to put 100, 115, 120 games on the board here, especially at this time of the year, because you've got a lot of teams that aren't usually lined getting put on the board because they're playing, you know, big name blue blood programs or major conference teams, something like that. But 120 college basketball games, another 50 or 60 college football games, NBA, NHL, the next day is NFL. You're not going to be perfect on every single game that you put up as an odds maker. You're going to pay attention to the big games, you know, Michigan State versus Kansas like Tuesday, Duke versus Kentucky, Ohio State versus Cincinnati. You're going to focus on those big games. So you're going to have less efficiency in the betting market for these smaller conferences. And I think you can really take advantage of that. And again, to do it regionally so that it's easier for you to get coverage, or that you know which radio stations to listen to, or which, you know, local newspaper writers to read up on. I think that's a big help for you too.
Yeah, no question about that. Coverage is a very big part of it. I don't think you can debate that at all. We'll talk some college basketball a little bit later on, but we'll turn our attention to the Pigskin now as we head into another fully loaded weekend of football. Boy, any interesting opening lines that really kind of made you go, for the Week 10 NFL slate, which officially kick-started last night with the Panthers and the Steelers? I was really kind of surprised to see the Packers are giving 9.5 points to the Dolphins.
It's a big line. I mean, you know, you've got a Packers team here that doesn't look the same. I mean, Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, there's been friction there for a little while. Maybe this is the year that the Packers finally move on from McCarthy. I think the thought process there with a game like that is that Miami's a little bit fraudulent of a team with a winning record here so far. I think a lot of people are looking for some regression from them. And then also for Green Bay, a couple of real tough games here the last 2 weeks. You know, they played that real close game against the Rams out west. Then they played New England last weekend. I think the expectation here is that Green Bay is in a position to really let out some frustration on somebody, but it is very hard to take them here this week. A couple of games I think that, you know, did have some pretty surprising numbers. The Rams being a 9.5 or a 10-point favorite against Seattle looked a little bit high to me on the surface. I mean, when these two teams played about 4 or 5 weeks ago now, Seattle gave them everything that they could handle. They've had arguably the best offensive performance against that Rams defense of any team here this season. But the Rams are getting a lot of respect in the betting market here this week. So that was one line that kind of caught me off guard a little bit. And then another one was the Jets. They were more than a touchdown favorite against Buffalo. That was before the Sam Darnold news broke. Now they are a touchdown favorite against Buffalo. But to ask the Jets to blow somebody out with the current state of affairs for them, with Darnold and all of his turnover problems, and a Buffalo defense that's pretty good, that was a line that kind of surprised me a little bit, and I'm not surprised to see it come down from 8.5 to 7.
Well, another line that certainly had some movement since the opening lines were released a couple days ago. Boy, the Browns are really messy right now. There's no hiding that, especially in this area. Shouldn't they be getting a few more points? I mean, I think it opened up about 4, 4.5. Now it's up to about 6, 6.5, you were telling me earlier. Does that seem kind of low to you, especially against the Falcons at home?
I think that was a tough line to set because, you know, Atlanta, they opened a 3.5-point favorite at Bookmaker, one of the offshore sports books that actually originates the lines. They were 4, 4.5 at a lot of other places. And now it's up to 6. And 6 probably is a better number for this. But there are a lot of people out there, and the numbers do back this up to a degree, that are very concerned about Matty Ice Baby when he goes out on the road, because that's a guy that plays in a dome. You know, he plays in a dome when they go to New Orleans, plays in a lot of warm weather cities. There are a lot of concerns about him when he goes and plays in, you know, some poor weather conditions. Looks like he's going to avoid the worst of it here this weekend, but there's always that concern about him, and then the Atlanta defense has some pretty big injuries, but you know, the Browns are a mess. They're in a very intriguing state of transition, as we touched on last week. So I think this line is probably where it should have been. But there is one important thing to say here, is that not all line moves are created equal. If you have a line that goes from, you know, +4.5 to +2.5, crosses through important numbers like 3 and 4, that means a lot. When you have a number that goes from 4 to 6 through what's called the dead zone, where a lot of games don't really land on 5, it doesn't take a whole lot of movement to push a number up through, you know, 4.5, 5, 5.5. So don't read too much into this line move. I wouldn't be surprised if it does come back down a little bit closer to kickoff, but I do think that it probably should have been set higher.
Going to be interesting to see what comes of that game. I mean, taking the betting perspective out of the equation, I mean, I feel like the Browns just kind of need a couple of weeks to just wrap their heads around what's happening right now, and who knows what they're going to look like over the next 6 or 7 weeks. But, man, oh, man, that whole thing has just been a disaster, and it feels like it's been a disaster for the last 20 years. All right, College football slate. It's an interesting week in college football. We're 11 weeks into it now, getting awfully close to the finish line. As a matter of fact, in most cases, we're just a couple of weeks away from it. Week 11, which games, Adam, stand out to you from a situational betting perspective?
There are quite a few of them here this week, Andy. I think one of them is Miami taking on Georgia Tech. I mean, Miami last week, playing in basically a swamp down there in South Florida, very, very heavy rains, miserable conditions. They outgained Duke by a large margin in that game and still found a way to lose it. Now they take on Georgia Tech, and Miami head coach Mark Richt has seen the triple option a lot. Obviously, when he was at Georgia, they played Georgia Tech every single year. But the big thing about the triple option is that you have to be focused in your preparation to face that type of scheme. I don't know if Miami's going to be. They've lost three straight conference games now. They're not going to reach any of the goals that they wanted to reach here this season, especially after collapsing at the end of last year and missing out on the college football playoff. So I think Miami's in a really tricky spot here this week against the Georgia Tech team that's gotten a whole lot better here with a quarterback change. They went from Taquan Marshall to Tobias Oliver. He's been much better, much more efficient running this offense. I think Miami's in a really tough spot. I think the Sunflower Showdown in Kansas is a good game, too, between Kansas and Kansas State, because Kansas fired their head coach, David Beatty, but he's going to finish out the rest of the season while they look for a new coach, and maybe the players really wanted him. Maybe the players will rally for him. But Kansas State coach Bill Snyder, I think he's 78 or some high number like that, probably going to be the last of the rivalry games for him. The Wildcats are not very good this year. So I think Bill Snyder is probably going to retire at the end of the season, and he has dominated this head-to-head showdown. Kansas State has won 9 in a row. This is a really interesting game because you've got a Kansas State team that's not very good laying double digits, but it's a rivalry game and a one-sided one at that. So that'll be a good one to watch there in Manhattan on Saturday.
Another good one to watch this Saturday. We'll have it here on AM 930 WEOL. They kick off at noon, Ohio State and Michigan State. You had mentioned this in the article that you wrote earlier this week about these situational betting games for the college slate. This is one that's been really close in years past. Obviously, last year's game being a little bit of an outlier, but Sparty and Brutus, when they get together, usually has some really, really close games.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, last year, Ohio State winning that game 48-3, and they were letting out some frustration in that game because it was after the lopsided loss to Iowa. The year before, 17-16, Ohio State. The year before that, 17-14, Michigan State. Very, very close, usually, between these two teams. I'm kind of torn on this one because from a power rating standpoint, I'm not selling all of my Ohio State stock yet. I think they should be closer to a touchdown favorite in this game than they are at 3.5. But also, you know, you look at Ohio State and the problems that they have and the reputation that Michigan State has for playing up to superior competition, man, it's a tough game to play. And you know, I think Ohio State is the more talented team. I don't think Michigan State can really exploit the Buckeyes as much as other teams have by beating them with the big play, because Michigan State has never been a big play offense. Maybe going back to the days of Connor Cook or somebody like that, you could say that they have been. But, you know, for right now, they're just not a big play offense. They don't have good play at the quarterback position. I think this game will be too close for comfort, as it is almost year in and year out. But I like to think that Ohio State does win this one and set up that huge Thanksgiving weekend matchup against that team up north.
This is a hard game to gauge as far as the over-under is concerned as well, because if Michigan State has their way and they can kind of control that Ohio State running game, you'd like to think this is going to be a low-scoring affair, but Michigan State's secondary hasn't always been up to the task this year, and boy, if Haskins catches fire, the over might be pretty attainable.
Yeah, this is a game where the totals come down from 54 to 50, and I guess the expectation here in this game, maybe there's a weather factor in play. I actually haven't looked at the updated forecast, but early kickoff in East Lansing tomorrow, so I can't imagine it's going to be a whole lot better than it is here. But, yeah, that's kind of a big question because, you know, Ohio State, the problem for them is that I think that their scheme is a little bit too complicated defensively, and it's kind of obscuring the talent that they have back there. I wish Greg Schiano would have taken the Tennessee job. Unfortunately, Tennessee backed out of it. But, you know, Ohio State's secondary, just so many bad angles to the ball carrier, so many bad angles to wide receivers in space. If Michigan State can exploit that, then this will be something of a track meet game. But maybe the weather playing a little bit of a role into that line movement. It's a tough game, like you said, from a total standpoint, from a side standpoint. I think Ohio State takes care of business here, but history would tell us that it won't be pretty.
Yeah, no question about that. Adam, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. We look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, Andy.
Thank you again. Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio as well. Make sure you visit BangTheBook.com to get the latest lines, the latest information, the latest tips as well. And they cover all sports, not just football and basketball and baseball. They cover everything. You can also listen to Adam's daily radio shows, Bang the Book Radio. You can download it on iTunes as well. We need to get to a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. In just a moment, Matt Douglas will tell us what's happening with the local news. And then things are going to get icy at 4:10 when we bring in Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
University Hospitals is pleased to announce our newest health center.